Jose, can you see by the dawn's early light was so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and
welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Valentine's Day, Tuesday, February 14th, 2023, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and dystopic ride already. This morning we have a Strategy of Tension episode. And that's not what we're hearing is not the Strategy of Tension episode. I'm not sure what that is. Michigan State University, apparently. I would call that a Strategy of Tension episode. Anytime there is a, well, something that's nationally televised like that, I would call it a Strategy of Tension episode. And so three people killed, five critically wounded. And of course, already, you know, we see the narrative being perfectly framed. The FBI is there trying to find out all they can about this person. And but since the gunman is dead, we may never know the motive, right? Motive unknown. It's always unknown why someone would want to go shoot up a college university. Maybe we are manufacturing candidates. Who knows? So that's an unfortunate event. Of course, the reminder of the Parkland Strategy of Tension episode is included in these news reports. But I want to look a little bit deeper. I'm not talking about looking deeper into this particular Strategy of Tension episode. I'm talking about how this relates to other things. So from the CNN report, the attack came hours before the five-year anniversary of the mass shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, and marked the 67th mass shooting with four or more shot, not including a gunman, in 2023. So in an esoteric sense, we're marking Valentine's Day, which has a curious history anyway. I've talked about that in the past, recent years actually, in fact. And at an esoteric, you know, sort of subconscious level, we are increasingly associating Valentine's Day with Strategy of Tension episodes, violence, bloodshed, and disarming the general populace. Kind of the duality of the psychological impact of what Valentine's Day is coming to represent, at least at a subconscious level. And so you have that on one hand. And again, throughout the CNN story, it's not known how long the suspect was on campus before he opened fire, police said. Now we have 400 buildings on campus and over 5,300 acres, and part of the process of the response is to be able to divide and organize in the search process and obtain evidence and share it as it comes through. That'll be interesting. But where's the bit about hours after the first gunshots rang out, the suspect was contacted by law enforcement off campus, quote unquote, Rosman said. Afterward, it appeared the, quote, suspect has died from self-inflicted gunshot wound. It's interesting how this language is smithed. So anyway, here it is. The FBI and their colleagues are going through the history of this person to try to understand what his motivations were, to try to understand what brought him to this moment in this community at this time. So sterile, so sanitized language. While the motive remains a mystery, new details about the gunman are emerging. Search warrant executed at the suspect's home. Police recovered a weapon, but have not determined if it was the one used in the mass shooting. See, there's always the plausible deniability that maybe it wasn't the guy. And I haven't seen, but you know, there are probably multiple gunman reports floating around. The motive is always, you know, motive remains a mystery. With the gunman dead, the motive behind such inexplicable carnage may never be known. That. So there's this, and also, you know, I was thinking of the debate over the national anthem, and I believe after today's show, after today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, you will not view the national anthem the same, for better or worse. You know, the national anthem we played, Chris Stapleton from the Super Bowl on Sunday, obviously, but there was the debate over the black national anthem, so-called. It's the third year Lift Every Voice and Sing will occur before the Super Bowl. So you have this dividing people. Many people commented about this. In fact, Kevin Sorbo, I think, tweeted that this is, he said it was racist and divisive, among other folks. So, you know, many folks commenting, that it is divisive, and America has one national anthem, and we could get pulled into the dumpster fire that is that argument. But what do these stories have in common? Is there a common thread in here somewhere? And I would say there is. An effort to divide us and disarm us and weaponize us against one another. Let me just give you a prelude to what I mean. Perhaps you'll see what I'm talking about. So from Bill Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse, Chapter 1, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. If you're not familiar, maybe we'll come back to the history on that document. Yeah, well, let me just preface. Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars is a document that was allegedly found, dated May 1979, found July 7, 1986, in an IBM copier, the story goes, that had been purchased at a surplus sale. And this is marking the 25-year anniversary of the first known Bilderberg Group meeting in 1954, and basically the technical manual TMSW 7905.1, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, an introductory programming manual for the continuation of essentially what is the Long War, or you know, World War III. And so from this document, just some interesting thoughts, whether you believe this document is authentic or not, some interesting observations, just to, as a preface to today's broadcast. Descriptive introduction of the silent weapon. Everything that is accepted or expected from an ordinary weapon is expected from a silent weapon by its creators. And again, just as a background, there is a war going on, being waged out in plain sight. It is raging, but it is primarily psychological in nature, and therefore most people don't acknowledge its existence because bombs aren't dropped. It's not kinetic in nature primarily, and therefore, you know, the mind is repelled by the concept. Well, surely if there was a war raging, people would be saying something. Well, what if the outlets that you trust, for example, the mainstream media outlets that you trust to tell you those kinds of things, what if they have been co-opted and conscripted and are actually mouthpieces of your opposition? Then what? So everything that is expected from an ordinary weapon is expected from a silent weapon by its creators, but only in its own manner of junctioning. The public might instinctively feel, well, let me back up. It shoots situations instead of bullets, propelled by data processing instead of chemical reaction explosion, originating from bits of data instead of grains of gunpowder, from a computer instead of a gun, operated by a computer programmer instead of a marksman, under the orders of a banking magnate instead of a military general. It makes no obvious explosive noises, causes no obvious physical or mental injuries, and does not obviously interfere with anyone's daily social life. Yet it makes an unmistakable noise, quote unquote, causes unmistakable physical and mental damage, and unmistakably interferes with daily social life, i.e. unmistakable to a trained observer, one who knows what to look for. The public cannot comprehend this weapon and therefore cannot believe that they are being attacked and subdued by a weapon. The public might instinctively feel that something is wrong. And Cooper's parenthetical note reads, isn't that the truth? But because of the the technical nature of this silent weapon, they cannot express their feeling in a rational way or handle the problem with intelligence. Therefore, they do not know how to cry for help and do not know how to associate with others to defend themselves against it. Remember when Alan Watt used to talk about the Orwellian linguistic minimalism that we experience in today's American society, that people are incapable of communicating danger to one another, which is a, you know, concept that is as old as time and history itself. The animals do it. But man is, he has been rendered incapable of sending and receiving signals of danger to his fellow man. Continuing, when a silent weapon is applied gradually, the public adjusts, adapts to its presence and learns to tolerate its encroachment on their lives until the pressure, psychological via economic, becomes too great and they crack up. You know, I seem to recall there's a guy who wrote something along these lines. All experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they're accustomed. Continuing, therefore, the silent weapon is a type of biological warfare. It attacks the vitality, options, and mobility of the individuals of a society by knowing, understanding, manipulating, and attacking their sources of natural and social energy and their physical, mental, and emotional strengths and weaknesses. And while this may seem sensational, and my goodness, you know, I mean, why are you even talking about this? This document seems possibly spurious, but I think once you hear a few of the things we're going to play, you might think otherwise, perhaps. There's a history that is little told. You know, it's interesting. We have the skirmish over what happened on Sunday, for example. You know, all the controversy and all the the conflict, the Balkanization, generally speaking. It's Black History Month, so-called. We could pause for a moment, perhaps, and refer to it as Blackfeet History Month. I realized that November is actually Native American Heritage Month, but let me just preface thusly. Aaron and Melissa Dykes have their new series, True Stream Media series, Overlooked, Lost in the Shining Hotel. And they've put out two episodes so far. Episode one, The Environment, and episode two, Management. And so I think we're going to play a few excerpts from the first episode, episode one, The Environment, today. And if you are not familiar, you might want to give these a listen. This puts a whole different light on our American history, even recent American history, in the last 50 years. And you might, you know, as erudite as we think we are, this is a history. They've painted it, given us a history lesson that I dare say most people are painfully unaware. And then there's the Davos set and how that factors in and what they're saying. Stick around, we'll be right back.
The first Oath Keepers trial over January 6 is over. What happened? I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system this cold and flu season. I have been following the plight of disabled American veteran Kenneth Harrelson for several months now. Harrelson was arrested in March of 2021 for his part on January 6th. The VA cut off his benefits 3 months ago at the urging of the Biden Justice Department, a month before Harrelson even went to trial. After spending 630 days in a DC jail under COVID lockdowns the entire time, the verdict is in. Harrelson was convicted on 3 of the 6 charges against him, but acquitted of the seditious conspiracy charge that the Justice Department cited to the VA as the reason for cutting his benefits. Angel Harrelson has not had her husband's income for 3 months. She has not seen her husband face to face since he was arrested over 630 days ago. Harrelson was denied bail and visitation. And now, the District of Columbia has filed a civil suit against Harrelson and others. Please help Angel Harrelson by donating at givesendgo.com/G22ZH. Until tomorrow, Seamus Paschem, Parabellum.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafin, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. All right. So, let us begin by hearing from Yuval Noah Harari, the mouthpiece of the Davos set, who speaks great blasphemies, as I would say. And if you're under the impression that there is a war and that the general populace is the target. I mean, you have to understand, basically, the Manifest Destiny and Westward Expansion was, you might say, first and foremost, a military operation. It was a way to, it was a Hellenistic impulse to Hellenize the West, but also, you know, an intelligence gathering, reconnaissance mission to process and assimilate what was valuable in a particular sense. Harari will tell us in a second. And, you know, find what is useful, and then, you know, the people that were sent westward were useful to that end, whether they realized it or not. So here's what Harari said. Go ahead, please.
So we may be facing, in the 21st century, a completely new kind of inequality, which we have never seen before in human history. On the one hand, the emergence of a new upgraded elite of superhumans, enhanced by bioengineering and brain-computer interfaces and things like that. And on the other hand, a new massive useless class, a class that has no military or economic usefulness, and therefore also no political power.
That's quite a statement. No military or economic usefulness, and therefore also no political power. So this, according to, I would say, the satanic contingent, is how the value of human life is defined. Military or economic usefulness translates to political power. We see that echoed in C. Wright Mills' Power Elite, for example. But if you are not a person who has any particular military or economic usefulness, then what? You know, we could play George Bernard Shaw, maybe we should, saying that, you know, every period of years, persons should be brought before a council and asked to justify their existence. Sir or madam, could you please justify your existence? Maybe we should play that. Here, I wonder if we have time to squeeze this in. Actually, probably not. But what do you think? Possible, George Bernard Shaw? We cannot use the purpose of this big organization of our society for the purpose of keeping you alive. Remember that? Do you have time to
speak? You must all know half a dozen people at least who are no use in this world, who are more trouble than they are worth. Just put him there and say, sir or madam, now will you be kind enough to justify your existence? If you can't justify your existence, if you're not pulling your weight in the social vote, if you're not producing as much as you consume, or perhaps a little more, then clearly we cannot use the big organization of our society for the purpose of keeping you alive, because you're a life does not benefit us, and it can't be of very much use to yourself.
Incredible. What if there is a contingent that thinks that way, and they just happen to control the monetary systems of the world and the military and intelligence systems of the world? It would be interesting, wouldn't it? Down through time, you know, we've talked on this broadcast and this network at particular times about the intelligence network that kind of weaves its way through history, you know, whether we're talking about the Jesuit network or, you know, John Dee's and Francis Bacon's invisible society that will see all and be seen by none. As it was said, and you know, that is represented in the Invisible College. And then there's the, you know, the Fabian contingent from the turn of the 20th century that even Carol Quigley wrote was responsible for all the wars from that time forward in the Anglo-American establishment. More when we come back. Stick around. Be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our 5th bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
So, as you listen to these, maybe I could just plant a little seed in your mind. All this bickering, back and forth, has us completely missing the point. We think we esteem ourselves too highly, I would say, the general populace. The point, the main takeaway is perhaps this, we are all... You know, I said this when we started the COVID shenanigans. Now we're all getting the Africa treatment and the India treatment and, you know, the Palestinian treatment while we're at it. And so now we can step back as we listen to clips from Aaron and Melissa Dykes, the True Stream Media episode one, The Environment, in their series Overlooked, Lost in the Shining Hotel. It's terrifying stuff that they're doing, I would say, by the way. But, you know, we can step back and see that we are all getting the exploitive Black, Native American, Jewish, Palestinian, African, Indian, woman, LGBTQ, you know, insert disenfranchised group here, treatment. And it's particularly ironic because we live in a society that murders innocent unborn children with taxpayer money while it fines people for seatbelt violations in the name of saving lives. Something is clearly amiss. So, keep those things in mind as we listen to these excerpts. Can we start with the first one, please?
The whole saga speaks to an indifference of modern society, a homogenous broadcast indulgent in pop culture and standardized references in contrast to the slow-cooked, handcrafted, traditional knowledge that is sacred in part because it was handed down intact across countless generations. It was a display of native wisdom that was generally disregarded and overlooked by that which sought to replace it, pretending at greater wisdom that has never matched the technology so often carelessly wielded by modern, quote, advanced peoples.
Everything in nature was here long ago. All the coal, the iron, the forest, the oil, the water, the land. Why didn't the Indians do more with it? The Indians had to have food, shelter, comforts. Didn't they raise better food, build better homes? Why didn't the Indians do more with all this? They had some tools. They knew how to make fire. They used fire to clear land. When the growth was burnt off, the Indian women planted corn like this, with a clam shell and a hoe made from the shoulder blade of a deer. Yes, they had tools, Stone Age tools, but they never improved their tools. And as a result, they couldn't improve their production of food, shelter, and comforts. Compare this with the pioneer farmers.
Unlike the Ahwahnee it is based on, Kubrick's fireplace was moved to the center of the lounge, seemingly almost to necessitate the display of this massive sand painting. Why did he draw in this element? There's no way such an exacting director placed such an imposing mural front and center by accident.
The past is hard to rectify here in the good old U.S. of A., and deep down, most of us Americans know it.
A country whose colorful yesterdays can be recreated through the magic of motion pictures.
I mean, if I went to my neighbor's house one day, planted my flag down in the middle of his front yard, and just declared it was mine now, that would be called theft. In the present day 21st century, we all know this. It wouldn't matter if my justification for it was that my neighbor had a different religion from me, or spoke a language I didn't understand, or he had what I perceived as backwards or savage ways. But somehow, we've been taught over the generations to overlook many of the things that were done in the colonization of this country. We're taught to hold two competing thoughts about this bloody history in our heads at any given time. The exact definition of cognitive dissonance.
Well, a forest ranger has found his treasure here. It's his job of protecting and managing this forest so that it will always give so much to so many.
On the tour of the hotel they'll be living in for the winter, the general manager who hired Jack, Stuart Ullman, informs them that the hotel was built on an Indian burial ground.
The site is supposed to be located on an Indian burial ground, and I believe they actually had to repel a few Indian attacks as they were building it. That's our snowcat.
Notice Ullman says it's supposed to be built on an Indian burial ground.
I'm never supposed to.
Not supposedly, supposed to be. seems a purposeful difference in language choice there. Then Ullman just moves right along like it's any little factoid not even worthy of a second thought.
That's our snowcat. Can you both drive a car?
Yes.
And neither Jack nor Wendy respond to it. Just like the majority of all Americans have been trained not to. They see the art, maybe, the native motifs, maybe, but they don't really see the Indian. In this and other moments throughout the film, again and again, Kubrick is showing us all how we've accepted and normalized something like genocide, which is absolutely not normal, and should give any of us a pause for at least a follow-up question.
In a 1968 shooting, and the search continues in the mountains near Eureka Day for that missing Aspen woman. 24-year-old Susan Robertson has been missing 10 days. She disappeared while on a hunting trip with her husband.
Killed his family with an axe. Stacked them neatly in one of the rooms of the West Wing, and then he put both barrels of a shotgun in his mouth.
But in this environment, there are things we're absolutely not supposed to talk about.
The loser has to keep America clean. That's right. You're going to have to keep America clean. Oh, America clean.
This history we've been trained not to discuss, we've been trained to overlook, is painful. But ignoring it doesn't change it. It doesn't make it go away. So the blood continues to ooze out of the past as if fresh. As head chef Dick Holleran gives Wendy a tour of the Overlook kitchen, something like an industrial factory that's been slapped down in the middle of a setting that's otherwise been designed to blend into its natural surroundings, right after they pass a sign that says, "Keep this area clean," in the background you can clearly see what looks like a red stain oozing down the wall, right there in the beginning of the movie. Like the blood of generations is just seeping through the cracks. The longer those issues remain ignored like dead elephants in the room, the longer those wounds continue to fester and rot.
Yeah, this whole place is such an enormous maze. I feel like I'll have to leave a trail of breadcrumbs every time I come in.
It requires two different halves of the same mind to play on a playground drenched in the blood of generations past without acknowledgement. It's a hidden picture game of overlooking something really messed up that's simply been allowed to blend into the background over time. Just like the national park architecture was designed to, and just like the game Stephen King writes about in The Shining, aptly titled Do You See the Indian? A place for everything and everything in its place, Mommy said. Then you know where it is when you want it. But now things had been misplaced. Things were missing. Worse still, things had been added, things you couldn't quite see. Like in one of those pictures that said, "Can you see the Indians?" And if you strained and squinted, you could see some of them. The thing that you had taken for a cactus at first glance was really a brave with a knife clamped in his teeth. And there were others hiding in the rocks. But you could never see all of them. And that was what made you uneasy. Because it was the ones you couldn't see that would sneak up behind you. A tomahawk in one hand and a scalping knife in the other. Danny can see what has happened here.
Why don't you want to talk about it?
I'm not supposed to.
But he's also been taught that there are some things you can't openly discuss and are supposed to pretend you don't know about, pretend never happened, pretend you can't see.
Indians? You're crazy. There's no Indians around here.
They say there are a lot of wild Indians around here.
This opens up the wild action world of Fort Apache. With Indians, cavalrymen, shell-shooting cannons.
Never seen such a war. Johnny Rep don't get you, the Indians will.
It's a stampede. They're in trouble. Rush Captain Maddox to the rescue, along with General Custer. Who started it? Ferocious Chief Geronimo on his horse Comanche.
So that evening, Robin, Matt, and I watched the very last redskin bite the very last bit of dust.
Hello?
Have a pizza roll, Kimasabi.
Look for Gino's pizza rolls and serve this new hors d'oeuvre.
Perhaps it was decades of exaggerated propaganda in books, pulp magazines, and movies, still locked in the vestiges of the pioneer past, which characterized indigenous people as bloodthirsty savages instead of natives defending their homeland, that made it hard for the rest of America to fully see the reality of what had been done here. This book is titled A School History of the United States by John Bach McMaster, Professor of American History in the University of Pennsylvania, published by American Book Company, copyright 1897. Chapter 7 in this book is titled The Indians, and I just want to read you a paragraph on page 69 under the section Traits of Character. Courage and fortitude he possessed in the highest degree. Yet with his bravery were associated all the vices, all the dark and crooked ways, which are the resort of the cowardly and the weak. He was treacherous, revengeful, and cruel beyond description. Much as he loved war, and war was his chief occupation, the fair and open fight had no charm for him. To his mind, it was madness to take the scalp of an enemy at the risk of his own, when he might waylay him in an ambush or shoot him with an arrow from behind a tree. He was never so happy as when, at the dead of night, he roused his sleeping victims with an unearthly yell and massacred them by the light of their burning home. Just want to remind you once again, this is a school history of the United States, written by an American history professor at the University of Pennsylvania. And it was obviously in use in schools for at least a decade, because as you can see, my copy was signed by the student that used it in 1907. So that is what they were teaching school children about Native Americans at the turn of the 20th century. But Cooper.
And so we pause. Maybe you are under, well, just for a little background and context, this again is the TrueStream Media. We're playing clips from TrueStream Media's episode 1, The Environment, in their series Overlooked, Lost in the Shining Hotel, which is, as you can perhaps gather already, Kubrick's interpretation of Stephen King's novel is a much broader story than I think most people would presume at first glance. The propaganda that vilified the Native American is an all too familiar age-old tactic, laid bare, for example, in Sam Kane's Faces of the Enemy, Reflections of the Hostile Imagination. I've talked about that book in the past, and you know, Sam Kane details in very graphic fashion, with illustrations from the World War episodes of World War I and II, the campaigns on both sides, so to speak, to vilify the enemy. Very artistically, a picture is worth a thousand words. And there are themes that Sam Kane explores and details. Today, our imagination, and as often I would say lack thereof, is once again weaponized against us, ourselves and one another. And it's painfully ironic, because this is America. We're supposed to be the melting pot. The average American, and beyond for that matter, is now receiving this same treatment. Remember what Harari said: the useless class is comprised of those with no military or economic usefulness. And so we are all getting the Native American treatment, who these people think are not useful. But since we all number in the billions, you know, the millions, tens, hundreds of millions here in America and billions beyond. The Davos set must be very strategic in how they exterminate the brutes, quote unquote. Remember, you know, John Taylor Gatto, for example, reminded us. History tells us we're paying attention. If we don't have rose-colored glasses and we don't buy into the myth and the lie of esteeming ourselves too highly, we can see what's going on. It's happening right out in plain sight. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the plandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and oh.
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
And we'll rock till break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me. This feels like heaven. Oh,
Television signal.
Sneak in a little bit of John Taylor Gatto here. The Fabians, Beatrice Webb, Uncle Herbert Spencer, Exterminate the Brutes versus Kill Them with Kindness. Remember that? There, this story is out there if we're paying attention. John Taylor Gatto reminded us in that The Ultimate History Lesson with Richard Grove. But there is Raoul Peck's HBO docuseries Exterminate All the Brutes that tells this story also. And you know, the Jacobin magazine told the story, Exterminate All the Brutes exposes the murderous history of colonialism. The Intercept had an installment, new documentary, Exterminate All the Brutes was 500 years in the making of genocide in the making. Eileen Jones' Jacobin article says 600-year development of the concept and system. It's referred to as white supremacy associated with colonialism, slavery and genocide, but that's disingenuous. It's I guess we probably don't have time for that excerpt right now. So maybe we'll play that at the top of the second hour. I hope you're getting a flavor of this the subject matter, because again, the point here is that we all in America and beyond now are receiving this treatment. And it's not – see, colonialism is the expansion. We think of, you know, the expansion and, you know, Manifest Destiny and westward expansion here in particular. And it's obviously been, you know, America has been the proxy extension of the Anglo-American establishment, the Anglo establishment particularly. And like Dick Gregory said, you know, we played that clip recently, when he says black folks and white folks, when he says white folks, what he means is if you can, you know, if you have Jerome Powell on speed dial, for example, or, you know, the Oval Office on speed dial or something like that, cabinet level folks in the executive branch, that's who he's talking about when he says white folks. And that contingent, well, even at a higher level than that, is, well, as Harari said, you know, they view the rest of the bulk of humanity not as fellow men and women, but as something far less significant, shall we say. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.